it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time and answer questions. Thank you for joining us today. We thank our partners for making this possible. It is our partners that help us get the studio and the equipment that we're using. We just don't go in America. We're around the world. We get people around us from overseas. So it's incredible. It's a great tool that God's given us, and our partners make it possible. So partners, thank you. And if you'd like to be a partner, you go to our website and just type in there, thing says partner, and you can give one-time give or you can help us monthly, but we appreciate everything you do. Thank you.
Yes. All right, Jeff. Well, let's dive right in here. I was hoping for some advice. My husband has a gambling problem, and it is devastating to our finances and our marriage. I don't know what to do. I've tried talking to him, but he refuses to stop. He just finds ways to hide it from me. I want nothing more than to make my marriage work, but I'm lost as to how to handle this. Please help.
Well, you need a third party. I would ask, you're in church. If you're in church, get your pastor. If you're not in church, find somebody you trust, the couple maybe, because it's pretty much a universal problem, especially in our country. We came from a city, I lived in the city for 42 years. They had casinos everywhere. We're in a place where it was legal. And so every corner, so every morning they'd serve free biscuits and gravy to get you in there. And people are pulling on slot machines, and there are a lot of beat up cars, and people didn't have money or giving it away. And so, and then they'd advertise somebody want, 14 million, somebody won 138 million. Well, you can count that on one hand, how many people won versus the millions that flushed that money right down the toilet, basically. And so, and every casino is a beautiful building. Somebody's making money, and it's not the people going in there. But they like you to think it is. So it's a lie of the devil. And so what it is, you're trapped because you think, no, I'll win. You're one of millions of crazy people that believe the same stupid thing that are still broke. They don't win. Most everybody that goes there is broke. And so you just give your money away. So you need a third party. You need to kind of just get somebody. Maybe you got a friend or somebody at church just get an agreement with you. Matthew 18:19. Lord, we got it. It's a stronghold. We got to break that thing. So it won't go away by itself.
I know somebody that had a severe problem with gambling. Great person, but it just really had a grip on him. And it got to the point where their son actually had to step in and take over their finances and everything, which thank God that they did because it saved their retirement and everything. And so it might be that somebody has to step in and to help you as a family break this addiction, because it's not just you that affects.
No, there's lots of people, and it is what Angel said. It is an addiction. It's no different than drugs, alcohol, gambling. It's an addiction. It's your flesh. Your flesh is looking for something it can't find. It'll never find. And it makes it sound so over spiritual, but Jesus is the only answer to anything. And you're going to, but the devil's trying to know, you can get this. This will make you happy. And if you win, no. And that's what, there's millions of people trying to do what you're doing and they've never made it. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So do what God's gives you to do. Get good at that. And that's how you get wealth anyhow. So,
yeah, that can definitely put a strain on family and a marriage. So you definitely need to have somebody.
You need a third person.
Yeah. And here's the thing, obviously, just saying whatever you have said to him in the past isn't working.
No.
So try a different approach in that sense. Say, look, calmly, let's evaluate this together as a family, because your choices are affecting all of us as a family.
And you hate to say this, but legally in most states, that is a reason for divorce. You're financially abandoning us. You're financially breaking us. You're financially busting us. I'm tied to you. I can't stay tied to you anymore. You're financially killing us. My children are at risk. We can't get food, or we can't keep a house. We can't keep a car. We can't get an education because you're wasting our money. We cannot keep doing this. And so many states, man, it's grounds for divorce. I don't mean to don't do that, but I'm just telling you, it's a very serious thing.
It is. So yeah, please contact your church, your pastor, or a good counselor, or somebody. Probably somebody that you know that's very good with finances that could maybe even intervene.
And we tell people God wants to help your spouse more than you do. He didn't want them in this mess. God wants them out, but you got to do some steps. You got to find out, okay, how do we get out of here? And what's his heart? So start praying for him. Lord, I think he's delivered. He's redeemed. He didn't have a desire to do this anymore. So.
Okay, Joe, love your gifts of teaching. I have a question about being given back sevenfold. My sister came to me and my husband about 5 years ago for a loan of several thousand dollars and said she was desperate and she could pay us back in a week or so. It never happened. We never harassed her about it, but I have occasionally brought the topic up, but she never brings it up. Is there a right way to approach this? I really want my sevenfold return.
Well, you're not going to get it from him. Okay. I'm trying to do this right. Number one, money and family never mix ever. The fact they were in trouble financially told you the reason they're coming to you for a loan, because there is nobody in their right mind at the bank going to give them a loan. There's no loan officer going to give them a loan because they cannot handle their money. The fact they're there means you can't handle your money. So why would I give you more since you can't handle what you had? So why would I want to pour it down? And that's why you stepped in that hole. It's like, you're never going to get that money back. They can't pay. That's why they're not talking to you about it. And what you are, you're a good hearted person thinking, well, people think like me. No, they don't. Most people don't think like you. And so you pretty much just flush the toilet with that. And so God can redeem it, you know, make the devil pay back, but it's not coming back through that person. It'll come back many other ways through other people. Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I did a wrong thing just loaning it to them to begin with. My heart was right. I'm trying to help them, but they didn't want any help. They wanted to do their own thing. So that's just try to leave it alone. You're not going to get that money back from them. That's the best way I can say it, H. You got any comment?
Years ago, I was at a church and several people had, I was really believing God for something. And I had my faith out there. And several people came up after the service and said, I never did this before, but I get put $1,000 in the offering, blah, 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 blah. So I was excited. I was like, God's bringing in the provision for this thing I'm believing God for. And get to the end of the week and the pastor hands us a check for $200. And we'd been there several days. And I said, well, is this all that came in? And he said, no, we had to take some money out to pay for the electric bill. We were kind of behind and we had to take money out for this and that and this. And you know, immediately my flesh wanted to come up with every vengeful scripture, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Which side of your face you want me to slap?
Yeah, you just come up with them all. And then, you know, you get quiet for a moment. And then out of my heart came, you know, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Yep. And so I just prayed and said, God, I freely give that money. I freely release that money. And I'm going to count that as seed. And I don't know where it's going to come in or how it's going to come in. But God, now I got some good seed out there. Yep. And I know you're going to bring it back. Yep. And every time it comes up in your heart, just say, I freely give it. Bless her or bless that family member, God. I freely release them from this.
Yep.
And God, I just thank you that you're blessing that seed that I sowed. And you know what? God will honor that and he will bring it in and you will get your sevenfold and you'll be surprised where it comes
in.
It'll be a shock.
It will be a shock.
And it won't come into where you think
it
will.
No, it never comes the way you thought.
No.
And you got to keep your heart right with your relative. It's like, you know, you really got to get to the point where they're going to, I don't think they'll ever mention it, but you don't need to mention it.
No, because they're ashamed.
They're ashamed that they know they've just release them. Just you do it to God. God, I give that money. I give it. But I count that a seed in the ground, like Angel said. And now I got a sevenfold return if I sow seed.
So, yeah. So just don't look to her as your source.
Nope.
God is your source. He knew your hearts when you gave it.
Yeah,
and regardless of what she did with it or he did with it, you said sister, yeah. But regardless of what she did with it, you know, you just let that money go. Yeah. You can't tie a string on the end of the dollar bills and then just watch it go and then want it back. You just got to let it go, freely let it go. And God will bring you the increase.
Yes.
Joe, can you explain to me the importance of baptism?
Yes. Jesus pretty well explained it because he did it himself. You know, when he found that camel hair bug eating Baptist, And John the Baptist, well, you need to baptize me. And she said, no, well, you need to baptize me. It was the initial outward sign that I got a relationship with God. And when Jesus came out of the water, God stuck his hand out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. When he came out of the water, after he got baptized, he didn't tell him before. He told him when he came out of the water from being baptized. And so baptism is a real important thing. People said, well, can you go to heaven without being baptized? Sure, but you ought to get baptized. It's an outward sign. It's what you do by faith. What are we going to do? I gave my heart to Jesus. And I remember I've joked about it several times when I finally got my heart back right with God when I was 21 years old and got born again in the Spirit filled in the great Spirit filled church. I told Pastor, I need to get water baptized. Now, I'd already been water baptized at age 12. Family there, took pictures, had a nice dinner that day. And I said, I need to get water baptized. And so he baptized me. And so the devil's messing with you. You know, I'm thinking, huh? Because, man, I don't know if I'm living right yet. Because I didn't understand growing in the grace of God. The righteous fall seven times, doesn't get back up. I'm not perfect yet. So I thought, I need to get water baptized again. So that summer, I had my pastor water baptized me three times. The third time, he whispered to me after I came out of the water, he helped me up the steps. Hey, this is the last time I'm baptized. You got it. No more. So I've been water baptized four times in my life. But it didn't get me into heaven. It's an outward sign to those around me. Hey, Joe got born again.
One church I've been to, I love the way they do their baptisms. It's awesome. And what they do is they kind of give a little bit of their testimony. And then the person that's kind of mentored them or kind of led them along comes up and gives them a gift. And then they say, today's the day I'm going public.
Yep.
And so that's basically what you're doing. Yep. I'm publicly saying, this is my Lord and Savior. I'm going to choose to follow him. Yep. And so everybody watch me. Watch me now. So
I'm going under, about to get wet.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is.
It is a great, great. Plus, you can always go back to that moment and say, now, remember that when I got baptized?
It'll hold you.
It will.
Listen, Angel, all of our kids have been born again and water baptized. It's like, are they perfect? They're not a perfect one in the bunch, but they're real good. But they have a moment. They have the rock. What'd you do? Yeah, I've been born again. I got water baptized. Got a picture. I have a certificate on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I know every relationship is unique and different, but do you have any general guidelines you would give in terms of how long you should date someone before considering marriage?
I ain't got nothing to do with nothing. How long doesn't mean a thing. I bet people.
When you start to get physical, go ahead and get married.
Yeah, before you get physical. Yeah, no, that's real. That's the bottom line. Yeah, before you start getting undressed, you might want to get married. You don't want to get there. And because that's a slippery slope that can move quick. We've got a great friend of ours, been in the ministry for years, dated 6 weeks, got married. And I had one couple I knew, the only one, dated 2 weeks and got married. They're still married. Great married. So, and then I got some that dated 7 years, got divorced. It's not how long you date. Is this the one God's got for me? Because you'll never get to know anybody dating them because they're going to change. The minute you say I do, they're going to change because we don't stay there. We're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You know, Angel's not the same woman I married almost 5 years ago. She thinks different. You know, now she looks the same, and I like that a lot. And she still kisses real good. But we think different because we've grown. We grow spiritually. We're just growing a lot of ways. So you keep dating forever won't do a thing. You either know it's God or it's not God. So that's up to you. Is this God? Yes. Is it perfect? There's nothing perfect, but I believe it's God. Well, then you got to go with God. And y'all listen to your pastor, you know. Tell your pastor. And we've both done this. We met the pastor. We got married. Talked to him, answered questions, and it's what you do. Hey, get a third party. Hey, we're in love. We're thinking about doing this. What do you think? And they'll talk to you and our pastor talk to you. Yeah, we think it's great. And so we got the blessing of the pastor and in agreement, and it's been awesome. I'm in love.
I'm glad. All right, Joe, I have been dating my girlfriend for 2 years and she continues to ask me when we will get married. I have the desire to propose to her, but my fear is that my finances are not where they should be before getting married. Do you think I should allow this to stop me from proposing to her? I don't want her to get the idea that I don't love her or want to marry her, but I'm also struggling with telling her about my financial situation as well.
Well, when you marry somebody, This is my old Southern hillbilly statement. You got to get buck naked in the middle of the interstate. There can be no secrets to getting married to somebody. I mean, you got to be totally open. Here's who I am, where I've been, because they're going to match it. Bitch, it's going to come. Your past will pop up somewhere. Did you ever do this? Yeah. You never told me you did this. As a heathen. As a heathen, I did a lot of dumb stuff. And then sometimes, did you ever do this? Yeah. When? Well, back a few years. Were you a Christian? Yeah. And I was a dumb Christian. There are no perfect people, but you got a few things you need to make sure you got on the table. And that is like, okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I think you're the one for me I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. I'm focused on you and my future, not my past. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life digging up dead stuff, who I dated, where I was at, what I did when I got arrested. I don't do that. You want to spend the rest of your life with me, I'll tell you who I am. I'm born again, Spirit-filled. Here's my pastor. And this is my church, and this is my friends. This is what I do for a living. This is how much money I got. This is how much debt I've got. You've got to be totally honest, because if you can't be honest, you've got problems coming real big. It doesn't have to be good. There are no perfect people. Everybody's got stuff in their closet that's a mess. Like, yeah, I've done some dumb stuff, but I'm not going to do it again. And I'm growing in the things of God. So just make sure you're totally honest, but you'll never get enough money. Ever, ever. You're going to be believing God the rest of your life. I mean, I tell people, you know, I remember when I started off, I was a janitor and ended up being an engineer. It didn't change me. It just changed what I was doing. You know, you learn, I got to make more money. So I had to go to night school for 7 years. Like, what are you doing? I'm trying to get better. But we still got married, you know. I love one another. Listen, we're still growing.
I remember when I got pregnant with my second child, I was so broke. And I went into the bathroom and cried because I was like, how am I going to, I can't even afford a gallon of milk hardly. And but by the time she was born, things had changed. It's never going to be there in advance. Nope. It'll be there when you need it. Yes.
So, put that on a bumper sticker and you won't sell a one.
Yeah. Somebody said one time, it's the last 5 minutes of faith that are the hardest.
Woo.
And it's true. I mean, tell her the truth. I mean, if you're going to be united as one,
yeah,
this is the best time to just
start. You need to find out if she can handle the truth. Not okay, how messed up it is. Yes, there are no, everybody's got a mess somewhere in the past. Everybody. So, but don't hide it, because if you hide it, it'll gather cousins and it'll jump on you. Just be honest. Yeah, I've done some dumb stuff and I just got stuff I need to take care of. And I had one relative that I love dearly, and told him the same thing. Did pre-marriage with him. Come to find out, he's like a bunch of debt, big time debt. And told the relative that he's married. So I said, you got to tell the truth. And so he said, well, and so what they did, now this is different. And what they did, he said, well, I've got this much debt. And the lady said, you're kidding. She said, no, but I figure we get married, you know, you can help me pay it off. And this lady said, well, no, that's your debt. I won't help you pay it off. You can pay it off. I'll marry you. I love you. Suck the lips off your face. Be a good wife. But I'm not paying off your old debt that you messed up. You'll do that. Now, and they asked, what do you agree with that? Well, not really biblically, but technically, yes. You're going to do what you're going to do. So every couple is different. There are no two couples that are the same. So, but tell, you got to be honest. Honesty is the best policy 100% of the time. You got to tell the truth. So,
yeah. And you shouldn't let something like that hold you back from moving forward in a relationship.
No.
It will work out.
Yes.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We love you very much. And right after this, Joe's going to have to go to the bathroom because I keep staring. He missed one long hair when he was shaving this morning. It's about to drive me nuts. So,
yeah, I'm in love.
Little insight to our life today. We love you guys. Hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week, guys. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.